Hi, this is Yukio Kallio.
And this is Daniel Hagström.
And you're listening to...
The Sound Architect Podcast.
Yay.
Hello, and welcome to the Sound Architect Podcast. I am your host, Sam Hughes, and today I'm joined by Yukio Kallio and Daniel Hagström, composers of the acclaimed release, Fall Guys. Thanks for joining me today, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, it's all good. Thank you very much for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. So before we discuss Fall Guys, which I think people will probably have heard of by now, I wanted to ask you both, how did you get into writing music and how did you end up working together?
Well, that's a long story. Let's go.
Do you want the version where how we got into the industry or how we started making music?
Both.
Well, essentially, I was listening to a lot of metal music and then very fast metal music. And then
awesome.
I thought that the only way to start the band is to go to a music school and get some kind of paper from there. And then I found the band called Nirvana. And then I realized that anybody can do this. And then I started making my own songs. I literally thought you needed a degree.
You had to have that degree for music to
even form a band. But yeah, then I heard Nirvana. Yeah, that's...
I love that. Yeah. Do you need a degree? No, man. Have you heard Nirvana? Like...
Yeah. So how did you, Daniel?
I don't even know. I mean, that's why, you know, you just love music since like being a child and you kind of end up doing it or making it. It's at some point, I think I wanted to, when I more consciously started even realizing that actually music can be made, not just listened to. I think at some point I wanted to be a classical composer, which is kind of
Sibelius.
Yeah, I wanted to be the next. No, not really. But but at some point, I kind of realized. I think it was at the time when I found out about electronic music. I kind of fell in love with more electronic sounds, and I realized that actually my thing is to fiddle with the sounds.
All right,
it's just a bonus if there comes some music out of it. But well, yeah, I think, I don't know, I haven't had that direct path. It's just always been there, the music making. I actually, this is probably the first time someone ever asked me this. I've never had to think about it because it's always just been, well, that's how it is.
That's always a good way. It's always good when it's natural, right?
Yeah, it's rather difficult to answer this question, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to answer the how than the why, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like the why is kind of there already, especially with a lot of musicians. Mm. You just want to.
Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah.
And you just find yourself with like, because me, I don't have any musical background in my family. My parents live on an island near Turku. Archipelago, and my parents, they work with boats, and I used to go with my father on, you know, a shipyard to work, and I would use all my income as a teenager to buy, you know, like music stuff, and I built my studio in the garage.
Nice.
I don't know, it just I kind of just happened.
Awesome. And how did you guys end up working together?
Oh yeah, this is a funny story actually too, because we've been good friends for
A long time,
like over 10 years or so at this point, I guess, I think.
I think so,
but yeah, we met at this one musical project, like a stage musical, you know, like a theatrical musical thing. And I was in charge of the music and sounds of this production. And Yukio was one of the actors. He would be on stage dressed as a bear. let's not go into detail about any other details about this production, but I mean, we can leave it at that. But yeah, then we kind of
connected
through
music, and then we just started hanging out and
making electronic music, because we
still in the bear costume.
Yeah, wow. Of course.
Still in the bear,
he's sitting with the bear
really
costume.
Bad.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he's wearing it right now. Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, then we just kind of we connected through electronic music, because that was we were both very into electronic music at that time, and then we started hanging out, and we went to my parents' place at the island to, you know, like to camp ourselves in for a week or so, and we just produced music, and we also did some underground live shows and things like that together. So we've done a lot of music together over the years, but I think this is the first time we actually collaborated professionally on a project of this scale, I think. Or is it? I don't know.
I think,
I don't know if that's even relevant,
kind of like a real project, not just our something for ourselves. Yeah, of course, Daniel has been mastering my music.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Before, but
we didn't mention yet this, but the video game composer here is Yukio, and I'm actually a mastering engineer at Finvox Studios Helsinki. And actually, Yukio took me on this project for production help. Mm. So Yukio is actually the one who's been doing video game audio, video game music for 10 years now professionally. And I've been in the music industry in other things.
Wow. And what a project to collaborate on. Did you have any idea when you were first? I mean, let me go right to the beginning. How did you first get involved with Fall Guys?
Devolver, the publisher of the game, got into contact with me. Because I worked with them before on some projects and trailer music, and they asked if I wanted to do the thing, and then Mediatonic, the makers of Fall Guys, got into contact with me through that, and they told me what kind of music they want for the game, and I was like, oh no, this is way too much. Like I can't produce this sound. Like I can do the compositions for sure, but like the sound is just too much work. And I was already gonna say no at that point. Like I can't do this. But then I realized I have this great friend who really knows how to fiddle with the sounds and knows the synthesizers and drum machines, and I asked Daniel to join me for the thing.
Amazing.
And then I said yes.
And now we're here.
Yukio was kneeling and asking me to
please help. You gotta help me, man. So how much did you know about the game when you were first kind of briefed on the project? Like, what did they tell you?
I think I only heard that it was kind of the first bigger game project for Mediatonic 2, and also that it was an online game, so that is always a really big gamble if it works or not. And I don't think we really had any expectations for the if it becomes big or anything. You never know that beforehand, of course, but
wow, so you had literally no idea what was going to happen.
We had some they gave us like some material to look at at first. We didn't get any part of the game or anything like that. We got some footage of the gameplay, some graphics, some spreadsheets, presentation about things.
PDF with images and the idea of the game and what kind of music they would like to have. And
yeah, and based on that, I think Yukio then started to gather the idea of how to approach the compositions, and it was actually a long time before either of us actually got our hands on the actual game. We never really played it before.
I think you played it only after it was released.
Yeah, I got to play the game a week after it was released. So,
well, I have to ask as well. When you first saw the footage, what went through your mind?
Well, it definitely looked like fun game.
Yeah,
but of course, like I said before, that online games can be, because it needs a lot of players to be the fun game that it's designed to be. So it was very like a gamble if it becomes fun, because it needs the players. But it definitely, like, the idea of it was like immediately, okay, this is going to be a fun game.
Yes. And I think you were very correct in your assumption. turns out it's a very fun game and a lot of people agree with you.
Yes, for me, when I saw the pictures, and because you have to know that I'm not from a gaming background that much. I don't really know about the video game world that much. So to me, I saw this like, wow, all these colors and these rubbery dudes and like, this looks great. I have no idea what's going on.
So you said they sent through what they wanted from the music. What what was in the brief? What did they ask for?
I think, well, for sure they wanted happy and energetic music. That was the idea.
Yes,
and they had some kind of like reference tracks also for like the kind of the style or
the sound palette, I would say more.
Yeah, like what would be like what kind of feel they want for the menu and what kind of feel they want for team games and that kind of thing. Like usually when I start on a project, on a video game project, I of course like look at the game, like how it looks like, and try to like think how it could sound like. For example, with Fall Guys, it was definitely like happy, energetic, maybe a little bit intense sometimes, but mostly kind of happy like music.
Yes.
And then, but usually on top of that, I try to think something else that I mix into it. So it's not just that first impression, but there's something a bit more to that. For example, with Fall Guys, we watched a lot of like 70s and 80s sports TV themes.
Those really cheesy and
yeah, like 80s, like
funky synth, ones, like,
yeah, synth drums and funky guitars. And actually, like we tried to, like the first demos were kind of more that mixed into the electronic music. But in the end, we decided with the team, with the Mediatonic team, that we shouldn't go that way. And we went back to more of the kind of synth sounds, but from that I think a lot of the melodical and the rhythm kind of ideas still came from that, even if it doesn't sound like 80s sports music.
Yeah, I would say the chunkiness.
yeah. And the thing that we kind of, when we got out of the 80s sports theme world and went back to this more synthy drum machine stuff, I think what we kind of figured out then is that while we wanted it, the music to be very tight and well, tight sounding, but we still wanted the synths and sound to be kind of loose and kind of soft sounding almost. So there's a lot of the synths are not like very hard hitting, like tang tang tang,
or sharp.
More, yeah, sharp. Not really sharp, but they're more like
they're tight,
womp, womp,
but
womp,
yeah, yeah,
like
they're still tight.
Yeah.
The rhythms are tight. But
yeah, I was going to say they're very
sharp
tight
and stabby.
Sense.
Yeah.
But still, they have that kind of softness, which comes from, I think, because Fall Guys is kind of this toy kind of world. So we want it.
They're bouncy.
Yeah, bouncy.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good summary. Bouncy, I would say, is a very good description of the music and the game.
But there's one thing that that's still there from the 80s and 70s sports themes. It's the slap bass that we don't talk about.
Yes. Oh, that was awesome. And yeah, I have to say, I've played a lot of Fall Guys myself, and I do really enjoy the music. I commented on it straight away. And one of my questions for you, though, was how did you... So with a game like this, right, you jump in, you jump out, you play a lot of the same levels, you play a lot of the same game. How did you decide to write music that wouldn't get too repetitive or too annoying? Or did you think about that?
I don't think we actively thought about that, but I definitely wanted to have a lot of melodies in it. Still have that, like, the thematic kind of framework for the, because the songs still sound like they're in the same world melodically too. But I think one thing that really helped, this wasn't like that, like an active thought of not making repetitive music, but kind of I had this idea to have a lot of modulations in the compositions, which comes from the Eurovision song contest. We have this there's this joke that every Eurovision song has that modulation, like half a step up in the last chorus, and I wanted to take that as far as I can, and I have like many modulations per song, and that I think that helped a lot with the non-repetitive sound of the soundtrack. Like even reusing the melody many times in a song, if you just modulate it up and down all the time, it sounds new all the time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps it fresh.
Yeah. And one of the really fun thing as a composer for that came out of that was, because the game music needs to be looping, was to kind of figure out the puzzle of how to modulate the thing down again, like after modulating like three times, like how to actually make it loops smoothly. And that was really fun to try to like figure out what kind of tricks to use, like drum fills and stuff, and then modulate two times down. And it was really fun.
Nice.
Yeah, also in the sound department or the sound production, used the variety of things and differences or say the contrast between different parts that you make the sounds quirky enough so that they're really interesting and they're like they fit well together between different parts, but there's still some differences if this makes any sense.
No, like I understand what you're saying, yeah.
And you use the whole spectrum, like you can have really soft to wobbly synths, and when you go to the next part, you might have this really like high-end hi-hat or something, or toy samples or something in there, and it's just this combined with all the modulations and different enough sequence, it kind of makes it like it's always interesting and you always hear something new. That's what I think, at least myself, kind of. And it's a good combination.
Yeah. And definitely what helped, like how we did this soundtrack, was basically I was composing, I composed the songs in my studio, and then I brought them to Daniel, who made the sounds and programmed the synths and drums. And then we kind of went back and forth with that and made the songs longer, and then went back to Daniel. And I think the kind of, that gave a lot of time for me to think about the melodies and the bass lines and rhythms, and then a lot of time for Daniel to think about that, like details and like how the synths really like go into with the rhythm. For example, like if bass sound, if it has really slow attack, that we have a lot of synths that has a slow attack, like womp womp instead of bang bang. So how to kind of get that to groove with the rhythm, because it can be just whatever slow ramp, it has to be like exactly with the rhythm.
Yes, it requires very precise programming and automation, actually.
Yeah,
the music sounds effortless, but if you look at the session, there's a lot of a lot of automation lines.
Yeah. But yeah, that kind of like that we had our kind of very specific roles that we did, and we had enough time by ourselves to work on our parts. I think that was really important to have all those details and have all those changes in the songs.
Yeah, because it is one of the trickiest things, because it is really good music, but you also don't want it to stand out too much. So it's got to be kind of defining music, but also sits back easily in your mind as you're playing, right?
Yeah, it was surprisingly kind of, well, there was effort, obviously, but I mean,
a lot of hours in the end.
In the end, but it's kind of, you know, when you have big projects and there's this thing from some projects, you remember the stress and the the kind of
the waiting and the fixing
this,
and
yeah, and like for this project, when I think back on it, it was fun, kind of like
it was really
there was
smooth.
It was really smooth. Like there weren't major problems or anything. It just went.
And definitely, I have to thank the Mediatonic team, who are really good at commenting and giving feedback, because that's also one thing that can change a lot between projects in video games. Like some people just, they don't know how to give feedback, and they start to, you know, micromanage all the little details, and like they don't give the room for the composers to work on their music, and they want to kind of like boss you around, and Mediatonic wasn't like that at all. They were always encouraging, and they always had like good kind of like a direction rather than feedback, almost. Like they just said like, okay, this part is not as happy as we would like, and that was it. And then we made it happy, and then everybody was happy.
Perfect combo. It sounds like it's one of the most perfect projects then, if everything just went smoothly.
Well, I really find that many things to complain about. It's weird. It's not, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Well, while we were working, it was all, of course, like we were stressing, and like we wanted it to be good, and we wouldn't know before it was out if people liked it, but now that like thinking back, it was really smooth.
Yeah, that's what I meant with what I said earlier, that when you think about some project that you've done, the only thing you remember is the stress and the anguish. But from this, I don't remember. There must have been some stress
of course,
and some
always. Yeah.
desperation. I don't know, but you know, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Or, well, that's always a good thing, then.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
For sure.
Well, because what I was going to ask next, if there was one, is what was your biggest challenge on the project?
I have to think hard.
It sounds like it's difficult to find one.
Yeah, well, some parts, yeah, there was, I think, on my part, to come up with sounds for something. I remember what was it, but I remember doing a few iterations on some.
Yeah.
So, and some songs, you know, the important sounds, you know, the lead sounds.
Yeah.
Like they usually have to be the memorable, the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties the song together. So some of those, I think I had to spend some extra time on and do some versions.
Yeah. Like usually when I started composing, I made some kind of demo sounds, like this could be this bass and this synth could sound something like this. And then I let Daniel do whatever he wanted with those. But sometimes there were like some leads, like I just said to Daniel, like, we need a really interesting lead sound for this. And then just left it like that. And that was probably like a few nights that you had to be at the studio, just like coming up with sounds.
Yeah.
For me, I guess the most challenging part was the making the theme song, because that was the beginning of the project. We made the theme song first, almost ready, and like demoing that and coming up with the sound palette, coming up with the what is Fall Guys music, like creating the musical world of Fall Guys. That was of course that's always fun. That's what I like to do, but also, because you don't know where to take these things, you have to go through a lot of feedback loops and like get comments and stuff. But even that was very, very fun thing to do. But yeah, not very hard.
Now that you mention it, then the initial sound palette building, because we went through
the 80s sports themes and we went through some other kind of synth styles and in the end, it became really good, but like...
I went through stages.
Yeah. But after that, like, we had the pretty clear palette for the Fall Guys. Like, what does the game sound like? Because Mediatonic was happy, we were happy, and then we started making new songs and we could kind of, like, reuse the ideas and also, like, come up with new ideas based on the theme with the rest of the songs.
And yeah, it's always hard with that blank canvas at the beginning, isn't it? Like you say, when you've got a theme tune to write, it's got to be iconic, it's got to have all these elements, but then you have to do that feedback loop to find out what people are actually expecting and what you can deliver. And it sounds like it was really smooth, though, even though you had to iterate, you had quite a good feedback loop going.
Yeah, that definitely helps that Mediatonic really knows how to give feedback.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes you're both talking a completely different language.
Trying
to get to the same place. So with this one, I have to ask again, like, we kind of highlighted your biggest challenge, but what would you say your proudest moment is?
I think for me, that was really memorable moment was when in the first in-game Fallen Roll, that's the track name, the in-game track, that you usually get when you start the round and you start running for the first time. And that we had the kind of choir. the little
group of
guys singing. And when I came up with that, that was really fun. Like, okay, maybe this works and this could be a fun thing. But then later when I continued the song and it became this drum and bass, really like hype drum and bass part at the end, and I added the little Fall Guys singing on top of that part, and it really kind of came together, like the song really became something more than its parts kind of. And when I was composing that, I was actually at home that time because of the virus thing, and I was composing at home, and I was just sweating because it was so much fun to work on that part. I was just like, I was just listening to it on loop, and I was just like, yeah, this is the shit. But yeah, that was the kind of like,
awesome.
Like just making these fun parts and then bringing them together in the end. And when it really clicks, it's such a cool moment. And I'm super proud of how that came out.
Well, for me, I was just thinking that what would that be? Because actually, I haven't thought about this either before. obviously I really like those little tiny details and rhythmic quirks and everything I did, but I think the most thing I'm proud of this is the overall sound and the mix and the master, because I'm a music technical person, kind of, you know, like
yeah,
I really kind of, now that I got to build the production from ground up all the way to the master, and mastering is my main job, is that when I master other people's projects, I don't usually have the luxury of going into the mix or into the production. But
it, this time, yeah,
because this time I actually built the whole production and mix from ground up, and it's, to me, it's just perfect. I mean, I don't want to, like,
I think
I don't want to pat myself in the back too much, like being a jerk or anything. It's just that sounds perfect to me. The mix is perfect. The sound is perfect. The punch is perfect. It's the master. The masters are really loud and clear, and not distorted, punchy. The bass is perfect. I mean,
yeah, and like
that's what I'm proud of.
Yeah, and you were kind of like I don't know, but I don't know if you were kind of half joking, but back when you said this, but you were like, you produced the songs, you made the synth sounds, and you kind of skipped the mixing part altogether.
Oh, yes,
you just
true.
Like made it sound so good that it was right ready for the mastering.
Yeah. That's true. That's the way I produce myself, is that there, I just make the final sound right from the start. So I don't really, there
don't
is not
mixing.
That big a dedicated mixing phase, because it's already, the song is there. Then I just mastered it. But it's easier to, because obviously it's still a mix, so it's easier to say. But I think that's the sound of the soundtrack as a whole.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most proud of.
Such a nice package.
Because that's my kind of, how do you say?
Fetish?
Oh, yes.
Mastering is my fetish.
It's like, as a mastering professional, it's my greatest thing I'm proud of, is when I make something sound the absolute best it can.
Yeah.
And in this case, there is absolutely nothing in the soundtrack I would change or complain about.
Yeah.
So it's,
wow, nice.
That's
so
rare.
That's it. You retire now. You made the final thing.
Why not?
So I was going to ask then, so it must be nice to have that foresight and be able to be involved so early in the production, right? Because like you say, you never have that luxury. And then this time you had the mastering in the back of your mind the whole time, right? So like you say, you practically skipped the mixing phase because you already had it in your head when you started.
Yeah, that's the thing. I usually, when I start producing the sounds, I envision how the end product will sound like. Just the same as when I get a finished mix on my mastering desk, I envision how the final master sounds like, and then I work towards that. Mm. But in this case, I just kind of,
you have
it was
all
a little
pieces.
Bit more than. But yeah, that's my method.
Amazing. And how has it been for you? Because Fall Guys just managed to hit everything all at once. Like, the community was awesome, and the music was awesome, the visuals are awesome, the game is awesome, and it just took off. You know, it's things like, it's the most downloaded PlayStation Plus game ever. And how has that been for you guys? Like, that must have been crazy to see it all just go mental.
Yeah, and especially what touches us the most is that the hype that the music got in Twitter, and that's crazy.
Yeah, our Twitters are a mess. We can't follow
them
right now.
Yeah, I get depressed when I open Twitter. It's always 50 plus notifications.
It stressed me so much that I had to delete Twitter from my phone. Like, this was the first time.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm like a heavy user of Twitter because it's part of my job and I need to like be active on there to get more work.
Of course, yeah.
But now I just had to like delete it from my phone because I was looking at it too much. Like, I was just like 24/7 kind of customer service almost. And that was just too much. I literally had to rethink my relationship with social media because of the Fall Guys. And it's done good. It's done good for me. Like, I my relationship wasn't really good before.
So. Your relationship with social media wasn't good before.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's been so many articles about how the music is one of the reasons why the game is so addictive.
It's crazy.
It's
so crazy.
You know?
Like, usually, like, when articles are written from projects that I worked on, it's usually like a footnote that the music was good also or something. And now there's like entire articles about just the music, and it's so crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. And so have you heard a lot from fans, or have you kind of received a lot of personal feedback on the music, or has it just been a lot of social media around it?
Yes.
yes to everything.
All of it.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of requests to use the music on whatever, yeah. And a lot of just messages on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, just like saying that the music is good.
Yeah, it's so nice to get those comments, like just people just enjoying, especially like because of the virus thing and everybody has to be at home and everybody's depressed kind of from that. And it's just like my favorite comments are people who are just like, this is exactly what we needed in 2020, Fall Guys and the music.
Yeah, well, I mean, the music and the game and everything is so inoffensive. Like, there's nothing kind of negative about it. It's just pure positivity.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really like, people really needed that right now.
Yes, I think this 2020 was the year we needed this game.
Yeah.
I've heard some people come and say, like, that my children, they fall asleep very, very quickly when they like listen to this music, or they're really happy when they listen to, or they there was this one video we got from the United States, I think it was, where his father filmed his two daughters, I think.
Yeah,
they were playing on their backyard. They were dressed up as four guys, and they were playing Team Tag, and they blasted the music from the stereo.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And the comments that moved me the most were people said that they listened to the soundtrack and they don't have to use antidepressants or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't say that's healthy. I mean, you should always follow your doctor's prescriptions. But I mean, if
people are really enjoying the kind of the happiness of it.
Yeah, yeah. If it helps people, I mean, that's more than you could ever hope for.
Yeah.
But don't stay off your antidepressants if you need them.
Of course, always follow real medical advice.
Yes.
You know, don't just listen to the Fall Guys theme. It's not quite enough. Even if it has had like, what, over 1 million hits on YouTube already? Something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. On our official uploads, the main theme, I think, has 1 point something million at this moment.
Yeah.
And the rest have
a lot.
But I think combined it's around combined it's around somewhere 3 or 4 million. And of course there are a lot of fan uploads that have many views.
YouTube is a wild west with fan uploads.
Oh, of course, yeah. Always will be, I think.
Yeah, and then the amount of remixes and covers I've lost track.
It's so like there's literally so many remixes that I can't follow that anymore. Like there's just so many that I can't listen to everything, and that's really crazy to me.
Yeah. It's an honor that people.
For sure,
it's really cool.
I'm so
and,
happy.
And some of those remixes and covers, they are so cool. Like they're really well done and just
inspiring. Like I'm so glad that we inspire people, and they are inspiring me with their remixes for sure.
Nice. And I have to ask: there's always a metal remix. Has there been a metal cover yet?
Multiple.
There's been like five. Yeah. There's been a full album of those. Yeah. I think.
So does that bring you back to your metal days?
Oh yeah, a little. I would like to make a remix album of
your own metal cover.
Yeah. Actually, one night I was super super tired, and because of all the social media, I was still having that bad relationship with social media, and I was so tired at the night, and I was just looking at all the remixes. Like, there's so many, and I had like this serious thought that if I don't make a Fall Guys remix now, I'm gonna be left
you won't be on the bandwagon.
I won't be on the bandwagon. And I was just like literally thinking that, and then I realized, wait, I am the bandwagon.
That's amazing.
Like, I was
He's
so
like, oh,
tired.
I should do a cover quick before I don't get involved.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh wait,
exactly.
Hang on. So I'm not sure how much you're allowed to say on this, but you can't help but notice that Fall Guys says season 1 Yeah. So that would imply there's going to be more.
Yeah. We can't really comment on if we can or will be working on the season two.
Of course. Okay.
But hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. Okay, so I'm coming towards my final questions now. The first one being, and this can either be a short or a long question with people in our industry. What else are you currently working on that we can look forward to?
Oof.
That you can tell us about.
There's going to be a new remix that comes out actually. Oh, I don't know when this podcast is coming out, so it's probably out already. But a remix for Lena Raine, who made the Celeste soundtrack. So
yes,
she's a very, very cool artist. And one big thing is that I'm releasing my new solo album.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's all Finnish pop music, like electronic pop kind of.
Nice.
Stuff. So I'm so glad that it's coming out.
It sounds good.
Yeah, we'll have a link below if it's out on release.
Okay, yeah, cool. Daniel mastered it, so it sounds great.
Yeah, I'm here commenting. It sounds good. Tell them it sounds good.
it'd be pretty terrible if you were like, oh, Daniel mastered it, and it's not as good as Fall Guys, yeah. But it's all right, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay. But yeah, I guess that's the big, big thing that's happening other than Fall Guys remixes.
Yeah, you got to get on that bandwagon, you know. You don't want to miss out.
Oh, no. I need to work.
Yeah, obviously for me the answer is not as exciting as Yukio's, because I continue with the mastering, and obviously I can't comment on the upcoming artists and releases that I will be working on, because that's secret stuff until they are released. So
classic.
That's what I'll be doing. Just mastering music and some big stars, though, but I can't tell who.
Top music.
Okay, well. So my final question for you guys, and feel free to take your time on this one. If you could go back in time and give yourself any advice, what would it be?
Any advice regarding anything?
Well,
audio work.
Mainly towards music, yes, rather than invest in Apple. Yeah.
Okay. I could take this first. Maybe this is more towards the industry and working in the industry, is to network more and to know people more, because it doesn't matter how good you are, but no one's going to find you if you don't know people. That's a good advice when people ask me how to get work in this industry and how to get to. You just need to be known to people.
Just need to be known.
Well, obviously you have to know. I mean,
maybe
how to do
a little
your
bit good as well.
Yes. But I mean,
yeah,
just that's important.
Get out of your house and meet people as much as you can, I guess.
This is something I would tell my way younger self, I think, and don't take it all way too seriously. I mean, in the end, it's music and it's fun. It should be fun, I think.
Yeah, fun is definitely. Yeah, I would probably just say don't change anything. Just have fun. Like, I love my life, so I wouldn't change anything. I would say it's gonna be stressful, but don't stress it.
Yeah.
So your advice for your younger self is like, don't worry about it. It's gonna be great.
Yeah. definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I have to say, guys, having you on the podcast has been as fun, if not more fun, than playing Fall Guys itself.
Whoa,
so thanks again for the time that you've given us today.
Yes, thank you very much for having us. This was really fun.
Thank you. Yeah,
it was super fun. And we look forward to having you back in the near future, I hope.
Nice.
Have a great one, guys. Thanks again. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Hey everyone, this is Sam. Thanks very much for listening to the Sound Architect podcast today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, there are many ways you can support the show, which is incredibly appreciated. Obviously, there's the financial way, where you can support us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/sounddesignuk. However, there are many other ways which also help, such as liking, subscribing, reviewing, commenting, and sharing via whatever channel you listen on. Thanks so much for your support already. It really is a work of passion for me, and I'd love to keep sharing the knowledge from all these talented and wonderful people. Thanks again, and catch you on the next episode.